This hotel room's got a lot of stuff. Laundry bag and a shoe shine clock. 32 hangers and a touchtone phone with a light that comes on when I ain't home. I ain't home.
Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Maddow, and welcome to episode 21, season 1 of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. And yes, please don't get too upset or melancholy or start crying, but this is the final episode of season 1. Don't worry, season 2 is following close behind. We're not going to be like the TV shows and take the whole year off or whatever they do. So please keep watching this spot for season 2, episode 1. But for now, it's season 1 and it's the end. And I'm actually going to tell you, we usually don't tell you where we are, what's going on, but Dave and I are both in Las Vegas with the whole TBSE event.
Yay! TBSE!
That was just Dave in the background because we're in a hotel room. So we're really excited for TBSE. We're really mellow about the end of season 1, and we're going to talk about some of that stuff today. I think I've been blabbing on a little too long, so I'm going to hand the mic over to my co-host, my brother, my et cetera, Dr. David Maddow.
It's okay, Rich, and you can, you know, it's our show. You can talk as long as you want, but since you already said it, we're really thankful to you for making season 1 so successful. This is the 21st episode, as Rich just said. We didn't, when we first started this, Rich, and we didn't know how long the season would go. We just said, at first we said maybe let's do 12 episodes, 14, 16, but it went 20 episodes plus this incredible finale. So we thank you so much for being with us season 1. And as we say on most of our shows, we really appreciate you. And if you appreciate us, you can help us out now that we're actually going to be in between seasons. Go over to iTunes, give us a little review, give us a rating, give us a comment, whatever you want to do. But every little bit truly helps us. So we are greatly appreciative. Now we're going to go and we're going to not going to be following the regular format of the show because, you know, usually we start off with a tip in the first 30 seconds or so that's going to help you incredibly in your practice or your life. And we follow at the very end with a phone call, the call of the week. Well, guess what? This is a special show, last one of the season. We're going to be doing something, a few things, a little special, and we're not going to be doing a call. Oh, don't cry too much. Or we're not going to be doing the tip at the beginning, but we have something really great for you. And I think, Rich, before we get into these things, how do you think it went? What do you think about season 1? Is it everything we thought it would be? What do you think?
It was everything we thought it would be and less. It was a ton of fun. Season 1 was great. It was fun coming up with the things to talk about. As you know, if you're a regular listener, many times we just started with a question or a kind of general topic and just talked about it until we reached some conclusions or some points or whatever. And we know that a lot of listeners really enjoyed that because we got fantastic comments. And we got some great questions as well. And some of the episodes we did were just based on questions. But here's something I learned, Dave, and here's what I'm going to say, and that is the percentage of people that ask questions compared to the amount of people that download the episode each week is tiny. We know there are a ton of people out there listening because we get data on the downloads, but not enough of you ask questions. And I was thinking about that it's probably typical when you take a CE course. You know, let's say there are 100 docs in the room. 92 of them are just quiet the whole time. And Dave and I know this because we teach all the time. And then 3, 4, 5 are really, really participatory. You can just see they're taking notes. The ideas are spinning around their head. They ask a lot of really good questions. And those people are great. And then like every time one or two people just talk a lot because they want to show everybody else how much they know and they, you know, try to argue with us or whatever. So that those people aside, my point is the 3 or 4 people who really pay attention, the ideas spin in their heads and they ask the good questions, get the most out of a CE event. And it's the same thing when you listen to a podcast. So maybe it will be fun when you listen to maybe some back episodes of season 1 or future episodes of season 2. You're listening thinking, I'm going to ask a question. What's a good question I can ask about the stuff they're talking about? And then we would love it. And just the fact that you're concentrating would probably help you get more out of each podcast. So I don't know. You asked me to comment on how season 1 went. I think I went way off on a tangent, but hopefully it was a good one. How do you think season 1 went?
Well, you know, tangents are great. That's what this show is all about, man. We go off on tangents. I think it went great. I really do. It's funny. And it's when you were talking, I had something I was going to say about season one, but now I forgot. But I'll tell you, Rich, let's do this. Although we're not going to reveal exactly what season two is going to be like. It's going to be a lot of it's going to be similar. A lot of the episodes will be a similar format, similar structure. But Rich and I were actually brainstorming in the way we're going to make season two a little bit different. And I think probably even for the better. I think it's going to be it's a really cool concept, which we will reveal on the very first episode of season two, which is coming, as Rich said, coming up pretty soon. We're not going to take a big break. But look, I think it's a good show. I like being in the studio with you, Rich. I love responding to questions. I love even when we have like a pre-planned show when we're kind of going off an outline. But I like bantering and kind of even going off topic, but today I tell you, Rich and I were brainstorming a little bit before this. We started this episode, and we said, since it's the end of the season, we both have a couple things that we both believe in and like to do at the end of every year to help our lives, and also what we teach these things to help dentists in their practices, etc. So maybe, Rich, what we can do now is reveal a couple of our favorite things that we really recommend doing towards the end of every year.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give one. We'll talk about it a little bit. You give one. We'll talk about it a little bit. Hopefully our listeners will listen and remember, listen with a real open mind and try to think of some points that you want to get out of this and maybe even ask us about. So I'm going to recommend thinking back to when you decided to and what you went through to get into dentistry. This is whether you're a dental assistant, dentist, dental hygienist, dental business team. There was a time in your life when you had some kind of spark and excitement that got you interested in the dental profession. And it could be anything. It could be, I'm good with my hands. I like helping people. I think it's a really prestigious thing to do to be involved in dentistry. It just makes me feel really good. Whatever. I had a dental problem as a kid, and I was intrigued about how great the dental team helped me. And that's why, whatever the reason is, and we've heard all these great reasons, whatever the reason is, you went into dentistry. And then you know what happens? You practice for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, for 10 years. You start to get tired of the same routine. You start to burn out a little bit, as people say. And you're not sure what to do, and you don't feel like you have an exit. You have to keep doing it. Here's what I think is a really cool idea, and I've done this several times in my life with different things I've been working on, and that is think back to that original spark that you got and how exciting it was and why that spark still is within you somewhere. It could be just like a little burning ember deep inside of you, but it's still there somewhere. And if you're feeling a little burnt out or fried or bored or whatever, it's up to you to find that spark, no matter how small it is, and remember why you went into this in the first place, and then do whatever it takes to reignite that spark. Maybe just an attitude change, or reading some motivational books, going to some courses, taking some classes, whatever it is. And you could do it on your own without any help if you just dedicate yourself to doing it. But find that spark and rekindle it and remember why you got into dentistry in the first place and work to make it that exciting and that much fun. That's my EOY tip.
Good one, Rich. I liked it. I want to ask you something. So let's be really honest. Do you ever feel burnt out at all? I mean, and what do you do? These days, if you feel burnt out, what do you do?
I don't think I've ever felt burnt out. Have I ever felt bored or frustrated or like things weren't going well? Sure. But I don't think I've ever felt burnt out. Like, I'm just going through the motions. I can't take another day of this. I dread Sunday nights because I have to go to my office on Monday morning. So I guess I'm fortunate in that way. One thing that did burn me out a little bit is when our speaking schedule was ridiculous. We had all that travel, sometimes three different cities in 3 days, and all the planes and hotels and crappy food and all that stuff. That got a little old, but the speaking itself was so much fun, I think, that it prevented the burnout. But that's my long-winded way of saying it. I don't think I've really ever felt burnt out, but I have felt unmotivated. That's for sure. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. If I'm feeling unmotivated about whatever it is, writing, speaking, going to visit a dental practice, I really do try to remember what makes me excited about this and how it's so much fun to help people and why it's a great mission to have. So yeah, I guess in that sense, sure. You?
Yeah. So unlike you, I definitely have felt burnt out off and on sometimes throughout my life. And you know, and what I've found really works, Rich, is I try to figure out why I'm burnt out. And it might be because I've taken on like different types of duties or tasks or something like that that maybe I don't absolutely love. And then so I try to like say, okay, I'm kind of burnt out because I'm not loving this every second. So then I start to think, well, what is it about that I really do love? And I try to focus on the parts of the business or whatever it might be that I truly, and I go back to like the very beginning, like what was I really passionate about? And I kind of say, well, I was always passionate about, let me try to focus on that stuff and not try to like reinvent stuff or take on new stuff. And it does work for me. So yeah, great tip.
Hey,
really good stuff.
Hey, thanks.
See,
if that sounds weird, we have a strange microphone set up in this hotel room that I have to say I'm not that accustomed to. So that's what I'm talking about.
Well, usually when we're in the studio, we're looking at each other, and we're looking at each other kind of now, but we've also got two mics right in front of each of us, one in front of one in front of the other. And so we can talk over each other if we want to. But here in this studio in Las Vegas, it's a little bit different. So bear with us if the quality is not quite as good. I think it's going to be pretty close to it because we're doing everything we can to make it good. But speaking of that, yeah, I think Rich said earlier, and I just said it, we're in Las Vegas. So whenever you're listening to this show, whether it's right now or whether it's way in the future, whatever month it might be, whatever year it might be, what I'd like you to do is Google TBSE or just go to TBSE.com. It stands for the best seminar ever. And right now, as we're sitting in Las Vegas, we're getting ready to put on our 24th annual TBSE. And that's one thing I think, Rich, maybe we've never really gotten burnt out about. We just always, every year, we just love it. We love seeing Dennis and team members come from all over the country. Some of them come from all over the world and converging on the city that we pick. And it's been Las Vegas a lot. That can change, but it's something that's, I want you to check it out because we want to see you in person. Maybe you've never met us and hang out with us at TBSE. It's generally in November every single year. So that's going to be that's not my tip actually, but I'm going to get into my tip for a second.
I just want to make a little comment on that as a tip as well. I don't feel like I've ever burnt out on TBSE in 24 years, and it's a lot of work. And 24 years, geez, that's a long time. But I think one of the reasons that I've not burnt out on this is because we have such a fantastic team who we trust, who is really knowledgeable, and it takes a ton of people to put on a meeting this size, of course. And if the team weren't fantastic, I think I'd be a fried egg, if you know, and just be totally free. Now, maybe they're burnt out right now. I don't know. I guess that's possible. I hope not. I sure hope not. But that's, I think, one of the ways to prevent burnout. Have a great team of people around you. And team members, that doesn't mean that you're excluded from that. You need to work with a great group of people as well. So that's like a co-tip. I think Dave's choking over there on something. Dave, are you ready? Are you still choked up? Or are you ready to give your tip?
I'm drinking tea, and I think it might have gone down the wrong. As Mom used to say,
you gave a weird face.
As Mom used to say, it went down the wrong pipe. So, in
Mom
so many ways,
said that right. I got some weird visuals when she said that.
So I'll share with you something that because since the end of season, end of our first season with the Dental Practice Fixers, and end of the year, close to the end of the year. But again, remember, no matter when you're listening to this, this still works. But I've always been like a really goals-oriented person. And I've talked to you in the past about how I've had books of goals and I read them all the time. But one thing I do, and I've never stopped doing this, and I generally do this with my wife at the end of every year, or very beginning of each year, we sit down. We have like a date, a real date, that we bring our book of goals and we actually go over everything from the previous year and see how we did. Did we reach this goal? Did we not? If we didn't reach it, what happened? Why didn't we reach it? Should we still put it on? And then we actually list our goals for the following year, and we talk about them. And sometimes things that we had as goals a year or two earlier, they might not be as important. Rich is dropping stuff all over the place. It's okay. This is the Dental Practice Fixers. Anything goes. It's all right. It's like the last episode of the season. I feel like it's almost like a little party in the studio room right here. So I'm going to suggest that you get together either with somebody that you it could be a spouse, could be a significant other, or it could be an office manager. It could be somebody in your office, because your goals could be both personal. In fact, I suggest they are both personal and business or financial or dental practice goals. So get together with whoever you need to get together with, and see how you did this past year. Are you reaching your goals? Do you have goals? And if you don't have goals, I strongly suggest that you at least have an outline of, like, where do you want to be? Because it's like a roadmap. If you don't know where you want to be, you're probably not going to get there. And if you get there, it's really just by luck. So I highly recommend having goals, written goals, and reading them every single day. But there's no better time right now than right now to make sure you have them. Get together with somebody who you work with or live with or both, and go over them. Make sure you're all on the same page. In other words, if you have a goal for your dental practice and your team thinks it's a ridiculously crazy goal, you need to talk. You need to figure this out, because everybody that's working towards the goal has to be on the same page. Again, like I said, read them all the time. Don't just have goals and throw them in a drawer and wait for a year to go by. Make sure you know what they are all the time and you're reading them. And somehow, I'm telling you, somehow it just works out that many of them, if not all, many of them will come true. So that's your homework. So that's what I have to say, Rich. I don't know if you want to add to that or whatever. Anything goes this show.
I definitely want to add to that. Well, I don't really want to add to that. I want to make a comment about it. First of all, I totally agree. I really believe goals work. I didn't always believe that in my life. And then I started noticing. Sorry, we actually are having a party in here, and I'm choking on one of these goodies that management sent to the hotel room. Never eat the goodies that the management sent to the hotel room.
It's such a big party. We've got outside the door, Rich. I don't think you look. We've got stanchions. People are waiting in the hallway to get into this party. It's like there's like thousands of people outside the room waiting to get in. Well, that's a little exaggeration.
I actually did notice that. I did not.
There's probably nobody outside waiting to get in.
Just somebody lost and roaming down the hallway, just another Vegas drunk. So what I wanted to say about that was, though, that first of all, they definitely work. I'm a big believer as well. Every time you read a book on motivation or inspiration or achievement, whether it's financial or personal, they always talk about goals, and there's a reason. But the thing I wanted to say is sometimes when you're thinking of your goals, you tend to say, oh, I should have started that 10 years ago, or I wish I would have done that when I was younger. And you feel like even though that goal was important and attainable at one time in your life, it might not be attainable now. And when I feel that way, I always remember this old Chinese saying. I'm probably going to botch some of the details, but the saying is something like, the best time to plant a tree was 50 years ago, and the second best time is now. So sure, maybe you should have started saving more money 20 years ago. Maybe you should have started pursuing this hobby, painting, oil painting, 20 years ago. But if you didn't, you can't get that time back, but the best time to start is now. Even if you feel like you're old, 5 years from now, you're still going to be the same age you will be, whether you started that project or goal or not. So I hope that makes sense. That's my little tip I'm throwing in about that.
Actually, I think it's fantastic advice, because I've always been one to say, like, wow, you know, I'm too old. It's too old to do that. How much, you know, but it's not a good reason, because you're going to be however old you are next year, no matter what. So great. I love it. Great, great, great advice.
It's actually from old either Dear Abby or Ann Landers. She wrote a column. For those of you who don't even know who those are, for you youngsters. Speaking of you youngsters, I was in a store in Las Vegas yesterday. I picked up a T-shirt, and the T-shirt said 1976 on it in big letters. So why would I be attracted and possibly want to buy that T-shirt, which I didn't wind up buying it? Because that's the year I graduated high school. So that's a special year for me. It's the year my wife graduated high school. So the woman comes over to me, and I said, oh, 1976, that's the year I graduated high school. And she said, oh, that's the year. And I'm thinking, like, what is she going to say? She's going to make me feel old. She said, that's the year my mother was born.
Oh, no.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, man. I've never felt that old before. I'm turning 60 next month, but fortunately, I don't feel it at all. I feel 80. No, it's really true. The numbers are just a state of mind. But where was I going with this? Shoot.
I have no idea.
Oh, about if you were old enough to remember the Ann Landers and Dear Abby column. I remember it was a famous letter someone wrote, and it was a woman. She said, I'm thinking about going to medical school, but I'm 50 years old now, so by the time I finish up my college requirements, take the MCATs, hopefully get accepted, finish training, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be, how old did I say she was? 50. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's going to be another 11 years. I'll be 61 years old, and Dear Abby or Ann Landers, they were sisters, by the way, twin sisters, right. Dear Abby and Ann Landers. Right. Answer was, well, how old will you be in 11 years if you don't go to medical school? It's like, wow, that is a cool thing. That's great advice. So, hey, thank Dear Abby. Dear Abby, Dear Abby.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that somebody who's 50 years old and hasn't finished college yet should go be going to med school, because okay, like this person you're talking about wouldn't be able to practice medicine until she's in her 60s. It's I don't know what kind of ROI you're going to get on that, and I don't know who's going to like hire you to do anything when you're like first starting as a doctor in your 60s. I don't know about that.
Maybe she was 40 and would be in 51 by the time she finished. I don't know. That's not the point. It's use it as a metaphor.
No, I take things literally because I have a feeling maybe she would. How long ago did you read this article? Because maybe
I was probably in high school or college.
Oh, so maybe the woman was like 35 and you thought that was like super, super old. And
That's possible.
Anyway,
when I was in dental school, there was a guy in my class who was 37.
That's ridiculous.
And we would all say, by the time this guy graduates, he's going to be 41. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, oh my God, he's going to be like an old man. That's when people retire. Why is he? And I was so wrong, of course. And I saw this guy at one of our reunions just a few years ago. He's still, you know, he's an older guy now, but still healthy and still practicing full time. He got many years out of his dental school education, more than most people in the class, I think, more than many. So you just never know.
It worked out well for him, but that's not old. No, I mean,
at the time, I thought it was ancient.
We had some people in our class that were in their early 30s, and I thought that was old as hell too. So, just goes to show what I know. So, this will be the time that we normally would have a call of the week, which we said we're not going to be doing that. But you know, we thank you so much because we've gotten so much positive feedback. A lot of you are saying the call of the week is one of your favorite parts of our show. So, we are absolutely going to be continuing with the call of the week. We've done, we've got like 21 or 22, because there was one show, Rich, I think we did two, but maybe there was one we didn't do one. So we've got about 20 or 21 calls of the week. If you had to like think about all those calls we made, yeah, we made them, all those calls we made and the craziness, the people that answered, I mean, is there a way to like just kind of summarize them in like 30 seconds? I mean, what do you think about these calls? Because nobody got an A. I will tell you that. I remember nobody got an A. Nobody got close to an A. What's going on?
A lot of gross incompetence out there. Some of it, some of it's not gross. It's just incompetence, and then some, like you know, kind of middling. You know, it's really sad. And as we say, we talk to so many docs, and every one of them thinks that the person who's handling their phone is doing a fantastic job, and they're just not. And we know some of you people that handle the phone are listening to this, and we hope that you get kind of a chuckle out of the calls, but you're also learning, and you will be a great person. We have total faith in you, so you're a great person, and you also will be great at handling the phone in a dental practice. So I was going to say, Dave, since you mentioned the call of the week, one of our favorite things to do, give us a question for the call of the week. You know, we've kind of we've kind of burnt out, you know, how much do you charge for cleaning? Do you take my insurance? Those are great. You learn a lot when you do those, but give us a question. What would you think would be a great question to ask a person in a dental practice for the call of the week?
I hope we get them. I'm just getting sick of saying, how much do you charge for a cleaning?
It's still funny every time, I guess, but
it is. But
funny's not the right word.
But what is a root canal? No, we need some really good, fresh questions. So please, yeah, send us an email. You know how to get us. What's our email address? podcast@matto.com. You know that. So send us an email or reach us on Facebook or however you normally do it. We're around. You know our names. You can reach us. It's not a problem. But having said all that, it's kind of sad. It's bittersweet because we're leaving you now. It's the last show of the season. Again, we love you. We thank you so much for being a listener, a subscriber. We're not going to be away for long. We got a couple things to do here as we finish TBSE in Vegas and regroup. But we're going to be back with season two. We got some incredible ideas for you. So please spread the word. Share with your friends. I'm Dr. David Matto. Thanks so much for being with us.
I'm Dr. Richard Matto. We have really enjoyed doing the Dental Practice Fixers podcast and hope that you have enjoyed it as well. Because if you enjoyed it half as much as we did, then we enjoyed it twice as much as you, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, thank you. Thank you. See you all next season.
Season two. We'll be back season two. We can't wait. Thanks so much.
Bye.
TV guy, the TV guy. Great God Almighty, it's a TV guy.